This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
All ye faithless, happy December, infidels and heathens. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves.
And welcome to Free Thought Radio, the only national radio program devoted to the views of non-believers, atheists, and agnostics.
And this show is produced by the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're the largest association in the United States of atheists and agnostics, almost 13,000 members. People who don't believe in a God, for whatever reason and whatever we call ourselves, we think it's important to work to keep state and church separate and also to be an alternative voice, to educate the public about the views of us who are none of the above.
And it's just the first week of December, but you'd think all hell was breaking out. And if you had the misfortune to listen to Fox News lately, it's really just us freethinkers and nothing to worry about.
We're not declaring a war on Christmas, contrary to what Bill O'Reilly has said. But, as our producer, Brian Tarani, said last year, we would like to lob a few snowballs at it, maybe once in a while.
The National Freedom From Religion Foundation has placed two winter solstice displays at state capitals. One is out of Madison, Wisconsin, where we're broadcasting from, at the Wisconsin State Capitol, and it's marking our 13th year in a row there. It's a tourist attraction, we're told. And the other sign, for the first time, went up in Olympia last week at the Washington State Capitol. And let's listen to just how indignant that made Bill O'Reilly of Fox Network. And this is actually Stephanie Miller's show playing some of his footage and talking about it.
Must we every year endure the war on Christmas? Is this every year we must hear about these ridiculous stories?
One incredible situation in Washington
State.
At the State Capitol building in Olympia. There's a display featuring a nativity scene because Christmas honors the birth of Jesus.
Oh, it does?
A holiday tree and now a sign denigrating religion that was put up by atheists. Here's what you see upon entering the Washington State Capitol building. Here's what the governor of the state, Christine Gregoire, feels is appropriate. Of course, the atheists are thrilled.
Oh, because she's including freedom from religion in the whole
freedom
of religion that the country was founded on.
Right.
And so that's, what does the sign say exactly?
At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds.
So all that clicking we heard, that was television, cameras, and photographers.
That was really fun. There were probably, there may have been almost as many media there as there were. We had two or three dozen of our members and freethinkers who showed up for the dedication as
Which was when?
It was Monday morning, December the 1st, our winter solstice sign. Winter solstice is the true reason for the season. We put that up just like the sign that we have in the Wisconsin Capitol. We have the same wording there now for the first year in the Washington Capitol.
And there was some more. There was so much coverage. Let's listen to, I think this is the Seattle TV station, King 5.
King 5, I think, yeah.
The dispute over which religious symbol should be displayed in the state capitol during the holidays takes a bizarre turn.
This year, a very anti-religious sign makes an appearance. It's sponsored by an atheist group, and it has raised some eyebrows across the state. King 5's Alyssa Hahn has the story, which is new at 10.
On this first day in December, you'll find the so-called holiday tree going up in the Capitol Rotunda. And on either side of the bust of George Washington, you'll find two very contradictory messages. A nativity scene depicting the birth of Jesus and an atheist message that says there is no God.
It's to remind people that the month of December really is a natural holiday. It's not a Christian holiday. Christians basically co-opted, or some would say stole, the pagan symbols for the Christian religion.
The message reads, religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. The president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, based in Wisconsin, put up the display today.
Okay, so actually the reason behind that display, I can tell, is that Lois Walker, who's a lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, an 80-year-old woman, called our office last year because there was very little attention, but she spotted a paragraph in her local newspaper that a religious right group had sued the state of Wisconsin when they had denied them the right to put up a nativity display in the Capitol, and the state had capitulated and said, okay, it's going to be a limited public forum. And she felt that if they were going to have a nativity scene at the Capitol, then there should be something that described the point of view of atheists and agnostics, and she knew about our sign up at the Wisconsin State Capitol, and so that's how that happened. And I'm sorry to say that although Lois Walker knew the sign was going up and was excited about it, she died on November 6th before it went up.
And I say a few remarks honoring her and her memory.
So this was placed on behalf of Washington State members, and we have more than 700.
She was a lifelong feminist and a lifelong peace activist and lifelong freethinker, and I started off by saying Lois Walker believed that there will not be peace on earth until there is goodwill toward women, which got some applause.
And the reason for the season, of course, is the winter solstice. And we're going to talk more about how that was co-opted by Christians. But I'd like to make it clear that the Freedom From Religion Foundation doesn't think there should be religion or irreligion in core government buildings such as the state capitol. But if there is going to be religion, if there's going to be menorahs and other religious symbols in the capitol, then of course there should be something that represents the point of view of the 16% of us who are not religious. And in Washington State, that might be closer to 30% who are non-religious.
Well, that's on the news, they admitted at least 25% of the people in the Seattle area did not believe in a God. So
and then tell us about the billboards.
Well, then we went from there, we went to a little lunch at a little European bakery, and then we walked over about four or five blocks to our brand new Reasons Greetings billboard, which is on Fifth Avenue and Jefferson
in
downtown Olympia.
And we have a twin billboard up in the east side of Madison, Wisconsin for the month of December as well, saying Reasons Greetings. And it's very cute. It's a stained glass motif, which is similar to our other billboards, but it has some holly and berries, and it's very jaunty and very cheerful. Reasons Greetings.
And a couple dozen friends and freethinkers got underneath the sign. It was really fun to get our picture taken standing underneath that huge, huge Reasons Greetings billboard.
And so then we have talked about the winter solstice. When is that, Dan?
This year it's December 21st. It's the day of shortest sunlight in the northern hemisphere. And it's actually the natural new year is what it is. It's been drifting, though, because of something called the precession of the equinox. It's been drifting, and the calendars don't drift. So the shortest day is actually the birth of the sun, not the S-O-N, the birth of the S-U-N, as it appears to turn around and then come back again and to make the days longer.
And, of course, the ancients for a millennia have celebrated this shortest and darkest day of the year, which we declare as the first day of winter now, for an obvious reason, because they were able to clock it and they realized that life wasn't going to die, the sun would come back, and the holly and the evergreen are alive when other things seem dead. So, of course, people decorated, brought that inside. The so-called Christmas tree, pagan festivity, there have been celebrations of light and gift-giving and feasts for a millennia in the Northern Hemisphere. And yet, you know, I get the media calling and saying, why are you doing something in December? You know, yeah. Like we're all Scrooges and trying to co-opt Christmas. Well, it's really the other way around. Of course, we can all celebrate this natural holiday.
We're going to take a break. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We've got more on the atheist agnostic point of view this time of year coming up, including an interview with the eminent feminist Barbara G. Walker. She's author of The Skeptical Feminist and also of the powerhouse book, The Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. And she'll be sharing all the pagan and early celebrations with Christians have co-opted for Christmas. And we'll talk about the natural and cultural origins of the winter solstice.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. speaking freely, thinking freely.
Hi, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We've been talking about the so-called war on Christmas, which is non-existent, by the way. We secularists are only concerned that the government not get into the business of worship and promoting Christianity over other religions or religion over non-religion.
Actually, if there's a war, it's a war on the winter solstice.
That's right.
They're trying to take away what's natural to all of us. For just a little bit of fun here, let's listen to the silly song that was part of a recent Stephen Colbert's, his recent TV Christmas special. This is just an excerpt of Toby Keith singing a tongue-in-cheek song about the holiday.
Can't believe what Christmas has come to today. All these atheists and judges trying to take it away. No carols in our public schools, no trees at City Hall. And they wish you season's greetings at the shopping mall. Ain't you sick of it all? Well, there's a war on Christmas, it's under attack. But this year America's taking it back. Separate church and state, that's what some lawyer said. I say it's time we separated him from his head. You can call me unchristian, but that's not true. Cause if I got a present for you.
Big explosion.
It's a thought that counts.
If you saw this, there's all these cartoon figures. There's Santa Claus leveling a gun at the camera. They're going to shoot the atheists, and they're nuking, Santa's nuking houses, and he's on his sleigh dropping bombs. And, it's making fun of this idea that there's a war on Christmas. Well, the war on Christmas is really, as you said, Dan, against the secularists. And,
okay.
How far are they going to carry it?
Okay, that's really funny, but actually the emails and phone calls we get are from people who are not joking.
No, and they've been ringing off the hook. We've been getting lots and lots of good mail and email, but we are starting to get those nasty phone calls and even nasty Christmas cards this time of year. And also, there was a visual when they said some lawyer talked about separation of church and state. They showed Thomas Jefferson, and the wording was off with his head. And Dan, we could barely get away for this radio show because of all the media calls about the winter solstice. And again, you just dedicated a display at the state of Washington Capitol.
In Olympia.
And here's an excerpt of one of the many interviews that you've been doing recently on radio and TV. And what is this?
This is Mike Gallagher. Or is it Mark or Mike Gallagher?
I think it's Mike Gallagher.
Mike Gallagher. He's a national talk show host that called our offices one day.
You know, I guess it's fair to say that many would suggest to you that to pick the holiday season as the time to launch some of these billboard campaigns, pretty offensive thing to do. Would that be fair?
No.
It wouldn't be.
We started this a couple years ago with our billboards. We had our Wake Up America campaign and been all over the country. We were at the Republican convention and we were at the Democratic convention. We've been in Colorado and about 9 or 10 states now. And so it just so happens that story that you read came out close to the holidays. So,
but it's not intentional.
No, although we are putting up our very first Reasons Greetings one, which we've been doing for years. You know, I mean, December doesn't belong just to Christians; it belongs to everybody. And we've all celebrated this time of year. And what's wrong with reason? And what's wrong with wishing somebody Reasons Greetings?
You celebrate Christmas. You celebrate Christ's birth.
The winter solstice, this time of the
year. Ah, the solstice, okay.
Was celebrated long before Christianity. Christians came along and basically co-opted it because the Christmas tree is a pagan symbol. It's not Christmas. And no one thinks Jesus, if he was born December 25th anyway. It was while shepherds watched their flocks by night.
Right.
The Christians piggybacked on a pagan holiday that pre-existed Christianity. And we're glad to welcome Christians.
Christians are pushy that way, aren't they, Dan? Aren't we, Dan?
Yes, actually, historically, Christians are. And we are glad to welcome Christians into this human celebration.
And I like to say, and my mother has always liked to say, we're glad to share the season with Christians, but we wish they would just acknowledge the natural origins.
And didn't Ingersoll say something about he'd like to have 3 or 4 Christmases a year because of the food and the fun and the fellowship and the music?
Yes, the natural stuff for many holidays, great, just not the holy day stuff.
Any chance to party.
If you missed this first segment of Free Thought Radio, we were talking about the winter solstice display that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has been placing in capitals in the states of Washington and Wisconsin. And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. Coming right up is the erudite and knowledgeable Barbara G. Walker, a columnist for Free Thought Today, which is the newspaper published by Freedom From Religion, a student of religion's cultural history. We're going to talk about the real origins of Christmas / winter solstice. And why don't we go out with this segment with a song that you wrote, Dan, in the tradition of co-opting. You took a Christmas carol and changed the words to solstice tribute.
And we sang this at the Olympia Capitol Monday morning.
During the winter solstice, the sun is the real reason for the season. Oh, shining star of solstice time, your radiant hours are few. You turn and strike the new year's chime. We owe our lives to you. These darkest days of winter, we miss your warming rays. But every year this hemisphere returns to brighter days. Since olden days the human race has feared that your warmth would die. The evergreen is ever seen as hope that we will survive. Oh, ancient drums, stop beating, and superstitions fall.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so.
I'm Annie Largala with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio.
And our very distinguished guest today is the scholar and author Barbara G. Walker. On first reading the King James Bible as a young teenager, she decided, it sounded cruel. A God who would not forgive the world until his son had been tortured to death, that did not strike me as the kind of father I would want to relate to. Barbara majored in journalism at the University of Pennsylvania, married research chemist Gordon Walker, moved to Washington, D.C., where she worked at the Washington Star. Relocating to Morristown, New Jersey, she taught at the Martha Graham Dance Technique. She is a knitting expert, having written 10 volumes, including the classics Treasury of Knitting Patterns and A Second Treasury of Knitting Patterns. In the mid-70s, she became part of the New Feminist Wave. She wrote the monumental feminist free thought source book, The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. Her many other books, published by Harper and Row, include The Skeptical Feminist. An atheist, she's also specialized in debunking irresponsible New Age assertions about such things as crystals.
Welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Barbara.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
And before we talk about the origins of this time of year, what this thing called Christmas really came from, I'd love to have you tell that story about your awakening as a young girl when your dog had died and you started to have doubts about religion because of what the minister said.
Oh, yeah.
Could you tell us that story?
I was grief-stricken because my beloved dog had died, and the minister came to visit my mother, and I asked him to tell me about how I would see my dog in heaven. And he told me I would not see my dog in heaven because dogs don't have souls and God does not allow them in heaven. I would, however, be able to see all my relatives. So I thought I could negotiate. I said I would be happy to trade a couple of aunts and uncles for my dog. And he wouldn't accept that. So I became angry and had a fit, and I stamped my foot and ran away crying, saying I didn't want anything to do with this nasty old heaven. My mother was terribly embarrassed. made me come back and apologize, but I didn't understand why I had to apologize.
The priest should apologize. Yeah, because we human animals don't have souls either now. Somebody should tell that priest.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, we thought of you in discussing what the origins are of the winter solstice and in so many of the festivities at this time of year that have really been co-opted by Christianity. Where do we start?
Well, all of them have been co-opted. There is not one original item about Christmas that did not come from a pagan religion. Not one.
Shall we start with the biggie, which would be
the Christ figure,
yes.
Of course. Long before there was Christianity or Judaism, people worried about the winter solstice when the sun is at the nadir, and they were never sure that it would come back. So they devised all kinds of magical rituals to make it come back, and it was always symbolized by a birth, the rebirth of the sun god. And the god who was born at the winter solstice was called such things as Light of the World, Son of Righteousness, Savior, Son of God, Good Shepherd.
Sounds familiar.
He who rises with healing in his wings and so forth. And his other names were such as Krishna, Osiris, Orpheus, Heracles, Dionysus, Mithra, Attis, and Adonis, who entered into Hebrew tradition as Adonai, the Lord. All of these sun heroes also had the title of Christos, or Christ, which means in Greek, the Anointed One.
So these are the sun gods?
These are all sun gods.
And so many Christians today have never even heard of them and don't realize that they're just believing in a latter-day sun god.
Exactly. Well, yep. Let's take, for example, Mithra, whose Persian title was Messiah. In Hebrew, that's Mashiach. And he was enormously popular in Rome, where his temple stood on Vatican Hill until the 6th century.
Wasn't he Persian, though, Mithra?
He was Persian originally, but the Roman legions worshipped him, and he became one of the big gods in Roman Empire. Mithra was born of the usual virgin on December 25th, which was called Birthday of the Unconquered Sun, which also an epithet of Jesus. Christians adopted this particular holiday in the 4th century and renamed it Christmas.
And all of these sun gods shared the same story. There was this a virgin mother, usually, wasn't there?
Always.
Always a virgin mother.
Always.
And a humble birth.
With a name that started with M, usually, like Maya, Mira, Miriam, Mary.
Mary, yeah.
The mother.
The mother figure.
And what were the other similarities?
Mithra was sometimes said to have been witnessed, his birth was witnessed by angels and shepherds, and of course the three wise men who were known as magi in Persia, which means magicians, you know, seers. Mithra also performed miracles of healing. He cast out devils. He made the blind see and the lame walk. He collected 12 disciples who represented the zodiacal signs around the sun.
Sounds familiar.
And his followers held their weekly services on Sunday.
The day of the sun.
Right. His death and resurrection took place at the vernal equinox.
Which Easter.
Easter.
Time.
The name Easter comes from Celtic. It was named for the goddess Eostre, who was a springtime goddess. And Mithra's followers also looked forward to a great battle between the spirits of light and the spirits of darkness at the end of the world. And then Mithra, the Messiah, would return, and there would be a last judgment, and, you know, the good would be separated from the evil and so on. So it was basically the whole Christian story.
So the Christians just stole Christmas, didn't they?
They stole the entire thing. Even the sayings of Jesus, all of them came from previously published or printed sources.
Now, a lot of the trappings today of an American Christmas, you know, come out of this pagan. What are some of the other borrowings?
Well, for example, the holly, which has always been a symbol of Christmas, was a plant sacred to the Germanic goddess Hola H-O-L-L-E. And the red berries represented her blood drops, which kept the plant green all through the winter. And so this was a sacred... They used holly, and they also used pine boughs in the worship of Attis, who was another one of the sacrificed, virgin-born sacrificed saviors. And he, too, was resurrected, killed and resurrected at the spring equinox. So all of this has been basically based on the turning of the seasons and what's happening in the heavens. These matters were very important to ancient people because they worried that things would not go on the same as they were.
What about something like what is now called today a Christmas tree?
Oh, the Christmas tree was originally, the pine tree, as I said, was sacred to Attis. But the Germanic pagans also worshipped a Christmas tree and put lights on trees at the winter solstice. The winter solstice to encourage the regrowth of the light.
And it worked.
And it always does.
Yeah. The pagans got it right.
And I believe the first Christmas tree imported into England was brought by Queen Victoria's consort.
Who was German.
Who was German. And I think that was his custom, and so he brought it into England.
And then I think they also didn't the Germans introduce it, and the Unitarians popularized the Christmas tree in the 19th century in America, I think.
Right, and that is why it is still a Tannenbaum.
Tannenbaum. And all of that harkens back to the pagan religions that nobody believes in anymore.
Yes.
So was Jesus born on December 25th?
Of course not. The whole story of Jesus' birth covers a period of maybe 10 years, because King Herod died in 4 B.C., and the census that they were supposed to be going for didn't take place until 6 or 7 A.D. So either Mary had a 10-year pregnancy.
How awful.
Or somebody got the dates fairly well screwed up.
Or he was born 10 years premature. That's how.
I don't think he was born at all. I think he was simply a composite of all these other saviors. The interesting thing about the three wise men, that came from Egypt. And you know the constellation Orion has the three stars in the belt. The three stars point directly to the brightest star in the heaven, which is Sirius. And that was the star of Osiris, who was also born at the winter solstice. And when Sirius rises in the land of Egypt, it signaled the flooding of the Nile, which was where the crops could grow for the next year. So they called those three stars the three wise men, who pointed toward the birth of the Savior. And I can't help thinking of that when I look at the constellation Orion and think, well, you know, the Savior's still there and still being born.
Well, just like the winter solstice, this show has a little break in it, but we come back again like the spring does every year. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're talking about the winter solstice, the natural cultural origins of Christmas, with author Barbara G. Walker.
This is Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion.
This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors. Get in there, you atheist.
And welcome to the conclusion of today's show, Free Thought Radio. I am Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we've been talking about all those things they didn't teach you in Sunday school about Christmas. We're talking with author and scholar Barbara G. Walker.
Barbara, we were talking in the last session of this show about Osiris, one of the many sun gods.
The Egyptian.
the Egyptian.
Yes, he was actually one of the largest influences on Christianity, because his cult was also very popular in Rome, along with that of Mithra. And many of the statues of Isis holding her baby, Osiris, became taken over by the church and converted into Mary with the Christ child. Actually, the Never Never Land you've heard of, that came directly from the worship of Osiris. He would take those who had eaten his body and blood in the form of bread and wine. He would take them for eternity to Nefer Nefer Land.
Nefer.
N-E-F-E-R.
Sounds creepy.
Which is the Egyptian paradise. Hmm. And they would live in green pastures and still waters.
Hmm.
This was specifically stated in Egyptian hymns.
And we have another here, a death-based religion, don't we?
Yeah, of course.
Just
and
like
of course
Christianity.
It was taken word for word and put into the Christian Bible.
Uh-huh.
He was also called Son of the Sun, or Serapis, and he became one with his father. So actually, the sun god was born of the same female who was his mate. In other words, the mother of God and the bride of God were one and the same.
Well, that's even more complicated than the Trinity, isn't it?
Sounds very incestuous to
yeah.
me. But, but it's very interesting that people never questioned this, never found it the least bit worrisome or bothersome that the gods did these things.
So the point is that when Christianity was getting off the ground, all of these stories and myths and beliefs were already floating around in consciousness. And Christians then, what do? Did you just tell everybody they changed the names, but the story stayed the same?
No. First of all, they would say that the pagan gods were imitations that had been devised by the devil in advance of Christianity, because he knew Christianity was coming, and he wanted to confuse people.
Did a good job.
Yeah. And then they took the temples that people had been used to going to and simply converted them into churches.
It was very handy, wasn't it?
Very handy.
Didn't have to do their own work.
Right.
Now, all of this other festivals of the year, like festivals of light, the...
Roman Saturnalia.
Yeah, Roman Saturnalia. These are also precursors of today's Christmas, right?
Yes, and they were all doing what is called sympathetic magic by lighting candles, or lighting torches, or lighting bonfires. They thought that they were magically encouraging the growth of light, the growth of the sun. And the Saturnalia was basically a big feast. And so by eating a lot, they were encouraging the gods to realize that people will be hungry and they need food for the coming season. So all of this is what Sir James Frazer called sympathetic magic. In order to make the event happen in reality, you do an imitation of it.
Was the evergreen the same thing? The spring
yes,
was green?
Of course. The evergreen stays green all winter, which makes it a wonderful plant, as opposed to other plants that die in the fall. So the plant's vitality is worshipped.
What about the gift exchanges?
Oh, yeah, that's another sign to the gods that our children need things. Mostly the gifts given to the children were in the form of treats, things to eat, to demonstrate to the gods that the children needed sustenance. And Santa Claus came from from a very long tradition of giving gifts to children, not only at the solstice, but also at the autumnal equinox, which of course
Halloween.
Became Halloween. And we still give sweets to children at
yes,
Halloween,
we do.
And we've forgotten why.
Well, because it's kind of fun.
It
doesn't rot their teeth. And a lot of these things are just fun. Now, today it makes sense to put candles in your window or fake candles to light things. And
mm-hmm.
we can do these things, but it is a good idea to know why, isn't it?
Didn't the Puritans say that Christians should not celebrate Christmas?
Oh, they did. They were very much opposed to it, because they knew that these things were pagan. And lots of other religious people have objected to what they call the secular part of Christmas. Personally, like you, I love the secular part of Christmas. I think it's fun.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with anything that's fun and makes life enriched.
And thanks so much for joining us today, Barbara. Your book, The Woman's Encyclopedia of... Did I say that right? The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets.
Absolutely right.
And many, how many other books have you written on feminist?
Well, there have been a total of 22.
Wow.
Altogether.
And we are lucky enough to have you as a columnist for Free Thought Today. So you can read Barbara G. Walker in the pages of Free Thought Today, available at ffrf.org. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And happy December.
Thank you.
Happy winter solstice.
You can listen to the show at ffrf.org/radio, archived or podcast.
Join FFRF. Ask for more information at ffrf.org. And I want to thank very much Barbara G. Walker for joining us today, and invite you to tune in next week for more rational radio, blasphemous broadcasting, and more reports about our very softball war on Christmas.
A snowball fight on Christmas.
Yes. So reasons, greetings,
and we'll be back
next week.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.